welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We also stream live at those times at richarddugan.com, and then we podcast these programs both at the radio show's page of richarddugan.com as well as on SoundCloud, iTunes, and any other place, and a lot of times also on the websites of our guests. We send the interview to our guests, and they can post them so that you can then listen to them at your leisure, and we certainly hope that you will do that, as well as go to their website to see and hear other things that they're doing as far as the work that we will be talking about, for example, on this program today. And today we're going to travel. We're going to travel a very, very, very long distance, only because it's probably the most difficult journey that most people will take. The reason is because it's a place that most people have never been. You don't need a passport. You don't need airline tickets, train tickets. You don't need to rent a car. You don't need any mode of material transportation. We're going to be talking about the journey within here on the program with our very special guest here on Tell Me Your Story, Luann Ludwig. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Richard, for having me.
This is, first of all, I like the fact that your book is it's a short read. It's not a huge tome. I've been working on a book for some 17 years. You'd think I was rewrite War and Peace or something. It's only 89 pages, but the thing I personally like is the fact that the font is nice and large, and it's very easy to read. Makes it easy to get through without eye strain and so forth. This concept, I'll call it for the moment, of this journey within, we have talked about, the ancient wisdom teachings have spoken about, the gurus and avatars and saints and sages of ages gone by have talked about the fact that, in spite of the fact that there are those, especially in the 60s, who were finishing high school and telling their folks, Mom, Dad, I'm not going to college. I'm going to go travel. I may go to, I don't know, Europe or India so I can go find myself. But all the aforementioned have all told us that you don't have to go anywhere. And that this journey within is, it's where you are, is it's right where you are. How did your journey within begin?
Well, my journey within started well before the book, of course, but seriously, I didn't write this book for the public. I really wrote it for myself, for a handbook of various metaphysical tools that I had read and loved over the years, and I would read a book and think, oh, this is just the greatest thing. You know, this is so great. And then I'd set the book down, and life would take off again, and dramas would happen, and I would forget all about whatever it was I just learned. And, I mean, it would just be hazy in the back of my mind, but actually implementing it as a tool in my life never really took place. So at one point, I sat down and actually wrote down an accumulation of stories that had each had a various tool in them. And then as my life would, you know, as I would walk through each day, when something would happen that one of these tools would come in handy for, I would, in my mind, easily bring up the story. Or if it was something a little more complicated, like the forgiveness exercise, I would literally pull the book out and go to a spot in the book that would really refresh my mind easily. And it was just an easy handbook to kind of have with me and learn to implement these tools throughout my day in a very integrated way.
A Journey Within, of course, is available both at Amazon as well as your website, which is luannludwig.com. Now, what I find really interesting is I'm hearing, and I saw this piece on a network program just the other day. One gentleman was going on and on about meditation and actually being rather critical of it, in that studies, he claimed that there have been studies that have basically have not shown any appreciable benefits from meditating, and that people who do meditate tend to shame others who don't. What do you mean you don't meditate? I like to take Teresa Neumann's adage that God is amongst the pots and the pans, or in my case, the slide pots and the circuits. and so that when I'm doing this, this being conversing with you or others on this program, I like to think that I'm in a state of meditation, in that I, you and I, we're sort of going within the depths of, or into the depths of, a subject that hopefully is meaningful to someone out there, if not you and I. I consider this, you say you wrote this book initially, it was for you. Well, these right. radio programs are initially for me. This is my therapy.
Exactly, right? Everyone's life is that way, really.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of people don't quite see it that way, in spite of True. The fact that it really is.
True.
What is it that you have dealt with a very tangible and very material product, if you will, as a real estate agent. And I'm curious, are you still doing that as well?
No, I had, I actually stepped completely away from that once I had a calling to really follow my spiritual gifts. And I was guided through all of this, including the writing of the book, the practicing of the techniques and everything. I was really, really guided in this. And at the same time, my journey has been so much more complicated than what you see in the book. I write the book as though it is a little boy on an island, you know, getting one lesson at a time. And when in fact it was really me getting those lessons, but also at the same time I was getting a ton of other lessons. So I don't know if that answered your question, but...
Well, yes, and I find this interesting as well, that, you know, I myself am not a meditator, but I consider myself a metaphysician, and have since about the age of 17, because I've been searching, trying to understand and trying to figure out and trying to find answers to, obviously, the age-old questions that everyone has been asking since man has been on the planet. You know, where do we come from? Where are we going? Why are we here? Et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Have you, through this process of meditation in particular, because that's kind of where we're at right now, what kind of answers have you found that have helped you to find that center point of peace and calm and tranquility? I also love the other word, equanimity.
Oh, well, that's a beautiful word. Well, let me talk about meditation for a minute. I think we get a little caught up in the semantics of it, and mm-hmm. you're right. People are kind of judgy about it. Do you meditate? Do I meditate? Whatever. Let's all set that aside. There are so many forms of meditation. You know, sitting in a comfortable chair and listening to sublime music and letting your mind just float into that music. That is meditation right there. Taking your dog for a walk and tuning into the beauty of nature and watching the trees sway and, you know, take that particular walk not to allow your mind to chew on the problems of your day, but instead to connect with nature, stay in the moment with your dog and whatever comes in front of you, but, you know, mostly to notice the trees and the birds and the butterflies and the breeze on your cheek. That is meditation. There's more formal forms of meditation, yes, and I struggled for years and years and years to try and figure out just how to pull that one off, where you can sit quietly and get your mind to silence, was how I pictured that. Well, I was, you know, really taken by the hand and shown that those other forms of meditation could help lead me to be able to do a more formalized meditation too. I totally don't think it's a necessary thing, but if you can find the time, I couldn't even squeeze it in when I was doing my real estate business, although now that I'm in the shoes I'm in, had I taken a little more time for self-care and taken those meandering walks and times of just sitting and letting the music wave through my mind, would have helped lead me to saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to take 15 minutes right now. This is me time. Turn my phone off and do maybe a guided meditation or a regular sit and meditate, which now I easily can do.
Lucky you. I have trouble shutting out the rest of the world. A lot of times it has to do with the work I'm in, but I know that there are those who do it. I have to say, though, that in spite of the struggle to shut out the rest of the world from time to time, there are times when I'm watching a newscast, specifically national, where they're now incorporating these wonderful, it's the last story of the newscast, wonderful, feel-good, do-good kind of stories, just remarkable. And the one since at the time of this conversation you and I are having, the one I saw was of the first responders out here in California fighting these fires. And you would think that that would be enough, that we are grateful beyond belief at the love and the commitment and the putting oneself in harm's way to help us, the citizens who are standing around and have been evacuated, to try to preserve our property as well as the wilderness. But they've gone beyond that. The one story was of a firefighter who they protected this one guy's house. The firefighter noticed that the guy's garden was kind of wilty a little bit. So he watered the guy's garden, came back the next morning, watered it again. And then that afternoon, watered it again. The guy comes back and his garden's flourishing. Who does that? Who has the time in the midst of fighting a fire? Firefighters are finding residents' animals, and they put food down for them, put a bowl out. You saw this cat and I kid you not, a cat and a chicken side by side eating out of separate bowls that the firefighters had put down for them. Who does that? That's incredible.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. And what you're doing is allowing that to touch your heart and connect to your inner higher self, which is what meditation is all about. See, you're exactly driving home that point. You do meditate. You just find other forms to do it in.
Well,
I want to tell you
please.
One other thing about
yes.
meditation.
Please.
Because it occurs to me, I was struck with something that really led me into seeing the kind of magic behind meditation. Not magic, but, you know, the benefits. And that was several years ago. I had a spiritual experience where I was in a guided meditation. I went into a very, very, very deep, deep, deep meditation. Very relaxed. It was guided by a hypnotherapist, and so, of course, the beginning of it was getting me to relax, and that was always a challenge in my life. I mean, I'm telling you, I was high-strung businesswoman, period. I'm talking my whole life, but especially when early on I entered into real estate, and actually before that, I was in management in the grocery business. Before that, one of the first women in managers in the grocery business. And high strung. So to become completely relaxed is a big key. But you don't have to be completely relaxed, but that was a key. And anyway, the result of this experience I had, I went into such a deep meditation that all of a sudden these spiritual gifts of mine just sprung forward, and I started to channel ascended masters, and it was awesome. It was such an awesome experience. I couldn't believe it. It was my body just filled up with all of this high vibrational energy. I felt like the skin on my arms just wasn't going to hold me together any longer. I just felt my hands felt, everything inside me felt huge. And afterwards, when I went to splash some water on my face and help me come out of this, I saw my pupils were completely dilated. It was an experience like you would never believe. It was amazing. But it also showed me, okay, relaxation and letting my mind float could bring forward some amazing things. So, you know, I was lucky. I had a taste of something that showed me what meditation could bring for me, and that was something that later, when I was channeling the Ascended Masters, started to really remind me that it would raise my vibration to meditate daily without fail.
You started out commenting on the questions that we ask, you know, the universal questions, the ancient questions that we're all asking down through the ages. And I remember somebody sharing with me, because I'm a very curious individual and I'm always asking questions. I guess it's kind of the reason why I'm here doing this. And they said, you know, Richard, you might want to leave some questions unanswered for, you know, later, you know, not even in this lifetime, but maybe in the beyond, you know, because you'll get those answers there, you know, and just let those go. And I thought, well, okay, you have a point there, because, you know, some people tend to obsess, you know, about trying to find answers. And sometimes the answers are right in front of you and you just refuse to acknowledge the fact that, oh,
that's true.
That's the end. The sky is blue. Why? Because it is. Okay. And that's it. God is. Nay, God. And I find that rather interesting as well, as we are here talking with our special guest on the program today, Luann Ludwig. She's a book out right now called A Journey Within. It's her personal journey. It's her book, but she's sharing it with all of us, which we greatly appreciate. And we're always mindful of the fact that the analogy that comes to mind, Luann, is that of we're all walking up this ladder, and there's someone above us and there's someone below us. And a part of our task, if you will, aside from, you know, enlightenment, if you will, or raising our consciousness or trying to connect with the divine, whether it's through meditation or otherwise,
right,
is to assist those below us to rise with us. So the person above me is doing that for me, and then I in turn, you could say, pay it forward by reaching down and assisting that person to rise, to raise themselves up as well, and do what I can to assist them. Do you find that there are those folks who, as wonderful as the steps and everything are, sometimes they get stuck in or lost in, if you will, the process? For example, maybe you can describe the specific process you went through where you had that incredibly profound experience. But if you get stuck in the process of trying to get there again, you kind of diminish the experience you had, right?
Absolutely. Well, I learned early on that, you know, the best way to really achieve anything is to stay mindful, which is keeping your focus in the present moment. You know, don't let your mind wander to the past, you know, beating yourself up over something or worrying about what might happen in the future that may reflect on something that happened in your past. If you stay in the present moment and continue to walk forward one step at a time and watch for those synchronistic events, you're going to be led to magnificent things. So that's what keeps us from getting stuck.
You also deal in, you're an empath.
Yes.
And you also deal in dream analysis. And we actually have a guest coming up in the not-too-distant future. And, boy, I haven't done this very often, but it's kind of fun sometimes. Maybe you get two people on the line or in studio, and we have an incredible conversation. If it weren't for the fact that I'd end up burning the building down, I'd have a small little fire going in the center, you know, like around a campfire. The one thing that a lot of folks, I guess, sort of have a misunderstanding about in terms of dreams is that A tree in one person's dream is not the same thing as a tree in another person's dream. As individual as each of us, as each of us are, so are the symbols that are contained therein. How do you go about helping someone to understand the real, the true, and or deep meaning that then sort of assists them in their process?
Well, I actually studied dream analysis for years, and I was teaching people how to analyze their own dreams by seeing each character or even each prop in a dream as a version of themselves, a part of themselves. And I would have them, for instance, let's say you dreamed about Aunt Susie was in your dream, your Aunt Susie. And so I would say, okay, I'm a Martian and I understand your language, but I don't understand, you know, I don't know your deal. I don't really know your deal. So let me ask you a few questions with that in mind. And I would say, describe Aunt Susie to me. And you would say, well, Aunt Susie is a very perfectionistic person. You know, I love her, but she's very perfectionistic. And that, and if that's what comes out from you, then what that's happening is that you've created in your dream, your dream maker has planted Aunt Susie in your dreams when your dream maker is trying to show you an aspect of your perfectionism. And anyway, and you put the whole dream together that way. And it was pretty cool, and I helped a lot of people that way. But then once I started honing my empathic gifts, oh, Richard, all I need now is somebody write down your dream and send it to me, and I can give you a reading, and I'll tell you what all your symbols are and what this dream is trying to work on for you. And, you know, our dreams are awesome. They come to us to help us work on what's going on in our life right now, right now.
What about those of us, I am in this category, who... I know that I dream, but I don't usually remember. I go to sleep and I wake up and there's nothing in between. And then I had one situation, and again, I don't remember it. What I do remember is this sense of, I don't want to wake up because if I do, I'm going to forget what I was doing and where I was and the experiences that I was having. And I woke up.
That's so interesting. Well, what I was going to say to you is one of the, gosh, that was a dream in and of itself, and I'll have to cook for a second on that and come back with something for you.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I probably should do that. Give me just a second.
All righty. We're talking with Luann Ludwig, and she has a book out called A Journey Within, available, at, of course, I'm sure, at Amazon, as well as her website, and we encourage you to go to her website, which is Luann Ludwig, LuannLudwig.com. And we're talking with her about her latest work, A Journey Within. She's in metaphysical practice. I don't want to misquote here. I don't know if you would necessarily refer to yourself as a metaphysician.
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
But you also, go ahead.
Well, I want to tell you that what your dream was telling you is that you had a lot of things going on at that point. You probably always do. But you had a lot of things going on at that point that you were juggling and that you were concerned about forgetting some of the things, some of the balls you had up in the air. You were concerned about, you know, forgetting some of them. And that was your dream right there.
Well,
that was what was going on for you.
I could agree with you on that one. I do. And there are times when I wish that I could just let them all fall and just walk away.
Let me tell you that if you did want to make a concerted effort to remember your dreams, there are simple techniques to train yourself to start to do that. And it is a process, but you begin with the evening, the night, as you're preparing to go to bed, you start setting that intention in your mind. You start saying, you know, my intention is I remember my dreams. You always want to set an intention in the present tense that it's happening right now, in a positive sense, not what you don't want, but what you do want. So you would say, I am remembering my dreams tonight. So then you go to bed, and actually another thing I suggest for my clients is to put a pad and paper next to the bed, because these dreams are so fleeting, and our lives are so jam-packed. You know, as soon as we get up and our minds flood with everything we have to do for the day, the dream floats to a back seat unless you really train yourself otherwise. So if you have planned that evening that you're going to remember a dream and put a notepad by the side of your bed to reinforce this in this intention, if you don't remember a dream, so be it. You do the same thing the next night. And when it's convenient for you to be able to have a few minutes in the morning, you would also set the intention that you would wake up just a little bit early so you have time to write down the dream. Anyway, that's what I say to my clients, and it works. It worked for me. It works for them.
Well, I know that, yes, we do get all kinds of wonderful messages through these dreams. We have a guest that's coming up in October of this year, going to be talking about this subject I want to go into with you now. And I'm going to just broach it before we go to break, having to do with the concept of premonitions or precognition and dreams in particular. And for that matter, maybe diving into this whole other realm of intuition, where, yes, we all have it, but sometimes we go to other people to get their intuition about our lives. And that may or may not be one of the best things to do, because we are then dealing with, in a manner of speaking, another filter that this information's going through that can be, altered by that filter. Not intentionally, it's just a matter of that person has their own experiences and that information comes through. And it's like, okay, how do you keep it objective, you know, right, and so forth. And I want to talk about that and other aspects as well when we come back. My guest again is Luann Ludwig, and a book called A Journey Within. We're going to go deeper into this subject and others as well here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Please stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
I knew we were coming back. I had this feeling. Yes, I did. I'm Richard Dugan, and this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, with Luann Ludwig, and A Journey Within is the title of the book. Luann Ludwig is the website, along with a .com at the end there, and we encourage you to go and investigate further, research, and get in touch with her as well if what she is sharing with you and me resonates with you, and we certainly hope that you'll do that, because that's how we learn, folks. That's how we grow. That's how we evolve. Before we jump into this whole aspect of intuition, I want to ask about the whole concept of evolution. What is your perspective on man's, and I use that in the broadest sense because it includes women too, mankind's evolution? Where are we going?
Well, I don't know how deep I should get with this, but we're in the third dimension right now, and actually we're in the fifth dimension, but we're segueing from the third to the fifth, and that is more and more of those of us who are walking in the earth, on the earth in this time, are becoming more and more open to our intuitions, to our spiritual gifts, to our connection to the divine, to all that is, to the universal powers that be, and we're just becoming more and more open to it. And more people are becoming tighter in that connection every day, throughout their day. And that's what I see where we're going.
Yeah. I posed this question on a number of programs over the years, and actually it's been just the last 5 or 6 years when this came up. And I remember conversing with this one gal, and we were talking about whatever it is we were discussing. And as I've always told our listeners and our guests, you know, I don't I don't have the questions. The universe is asking the questions. I'm just along for the ride. And this question would not go. I'm going, I don't want to ask that question. It's not relevant. I don't want it. And I literally, within the context of the universe, I said verbally out loud, I said, you know, to my guest, there's this question. It will not go away. And so I've got to ask it. Otherwise, it's going to haunt me the rest of my life.
Right.
And it actually had to do with, and it sounds very pessimistic, but I really felt, and sometimes even to this day feel, do you think that mankind has earned the right to continue as a species? And then I'm going to add to that. I want to put a, I guess you'd call it a suffix, if my English is correct, as opposed to a preface. If everything is cyclical, then why wouldn't the existence of species be cyclical as well? They come and they go. And as much as we'd like for our species to go on indefinitely, one day the human race is going to be gone for one reason or another, either through natural or man-made catastrophes. What are your thoughts on, because this actually ties into, of course, what I asked you earlier about, you know, our evolution as a spiritual being.
Well, okay.
I know it's a big one. I understand that.
That is. Let's go to your question about, do I think man has the right to continue? You know, have we earned that right? You know, I would say that we are spiritual beings here to experience in a human body. We're here to experience life. And the things that are happening on the earth right now, the dramas that are occurring, are here to open us and to show us various things. They're here to help us in our evolution. It seems counterproductive right now because of all the really ridiculous chaos that's going on. There's tragic things with natural disasters, but there's human brought about craziness too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So you know we want to wonder why is this happening, and I try these days to step aside the why and say, you know what, it all just is, and what can I do about it? So I can focus on the negative, or I can shift my thinking from that negative to, okay, what is this showing me? For goodness sake, you know, what is this showing me? Various things I need to forgive in whoever in the public eye I'm seeing do horrendous things that maybe reflect on something within myself from the past, maybe that's already healed or something even kind of remotely resembling, which sometimes it's really hard to come up with that, but it can be done. Anyway, ways to let go and forgive yourself, and that, you know, each time we forgive ourselves and forgive others, we raise ourselves up. We release ourselves from various resistances. So if we look at that whole thing, yes, I also believe that everything is cyclical. But I'm not going to get caught up all over in that. I want to be responsible with this earth. I want to not put poisons into my lawn and my garden, or if that's, you know, or go into an industry that is polluting. I don't want to sponsor that or stand behind that in any way, or do it on a personal level. Things like that. I want to honor the earth in a big way. And I can only control myself. So as I walk through life and just model that, I don't lord it over anyone. I just do it. And that it just is what it is. And it creates a ripple effect. And I'm good with that. And I'm busy tending to my own knitting of finding the areas in my daily life, my moment-to-moment life, where resistance and fear crop up, and looking at it, allowing myself to address it and heal it and release it,
mm-hmm.
and go on lighter. And as I walk a path of a higher light, I think it affects those around me.
I think there's a great line that was used during the last campaign that I think epitomizes what you're saying. And I think, and it's a very short little thing, a very short little sentence. And that was, when they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
And the reality is that they can be anybody.
Right.
And we also, and this is the reason why I try to avoid watching the news and listening to the news and or reading the news. I had a bunch of news apps on my phone and my tablet. Boy, I tell you, about 3 months in, I removed them all because
right.
it was too heavy.
It is. I used to spend so much time listening to talk radio, reading the paper, watching, you know, podcasts of this or that, news related, watching the news. I mean, I was immersed in it.
Yeah.
But I stepped away too. I now have stepped back in to stay versed in the generalities of what's going on, but I had to step away from it because I want to step above it. I want to step beyond it.
Well, when I was working for the Christian radio station back in the 80s, early 90s, I was there for 15 years, and as I've often said, it was the greatest education I was ever paid for because I learned so much about so many different subjects, a little broadcasting too along the way. One of the things that that struck me, and this applies today. And what's interesting is I'm hearing from various musicians, not only alive today, who have been around for 30, 40, or even 50 or more years, which is just incredible. They're still kicking, still doing their thing, still playing their music. But the music that was made back in the 60s and 70s in particular is just as relevant today as it was then. Well, one of the things that struck me about that period of time when I was working for the station was the national, specifically the national evangelists, and the subject matter that they would just go off on about, you know, how terrible the world was or how terrible man was or how terrible this particular group was versus that group and so forth. And I not to name anybody by name, but what I noticed was how myopic they became in their diatribes. And what came to mind was a Shakespearean phrase, which I don't have. Someone says, well, you've only quoted part of it. I says, yeah, but the part I'm quoting is the only part that's relevant. And that quote is, me dost think thou protesteth too much.
Right.
And what that said to me was, that which you rail against the most is probably that which you are caught up in as well.
Exactly. There's the journey within once again, right?
Yeah. And so I take that to the present day as well.
It's funny because that same subject comes up if you go head-to-head with somebody and this person is, you know, whatever they're talking about, let's say, even, you know, on a person-to-person level,
mm-hmm.
or the same thing occurs. You're seeing something in yourself. That's why you're railing there. That's why
right.
you're butting up against it, because there's something that it's triggering in you. Your buttons in that area are huge.
Yeah.
That's why they can push your buttons. Because if you look and see what those buttons are and go, oh, my goodness, and kind of shift your whole thinking about it, do a little healing and then release it, somebody else could come along and say those same things, and it doesn't mean a doggone thing to you anymore.
Absolutely. Well, I take it to the present day, both on a national as well as local level, and I listen to what's coming out. Every once in a while, I happen to catch the information. And,
right.
and today I'm able to actually listen and look at that and go, oh, okay, you know, you keep on going, keep arguing against whatever it is that you're upset about. You know, you just keep going with it, because the laws of the universe will balance things out and all will come to light one day. And
absolutely.
I don't have to get involved. Now here was the key for me, and I want you to dive in on this as well. When September, it was 2 years ago, I got sucked in. I was totally oblivious to, didn't care one iota about the process that was going on politically. until September 2016. I got sucked in, and it took me 6 months to, and I jokingly say, to get unsucked. And it was just recently, and I was sharing this in an interview, and it stuck in my throat. It was so hard to say for the longest time, and I finally was able to utter it. I can now say it much more freely. To the specific individual that I was upset about,
right.
I forgive you for whatever it is that you're doing that's got me all bent out of shape. And I came back and I said, and I forgive me for getting bent out of shape.
Right.
And
do
you know that released me? And now I'm back to where I was prior to September of 2016.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was talking about before, which sometimes you think whatever is happening that's pushing your buttons big time. That is not me. Are you kidding me? There's nothing about me that resembles that. But then again, just like you said, you realize that you were upset over seeing whatever was happening, and that was your parallel right there, right there.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that people don't seem to understand, that unless you can get to the root of these things, you're going to hang on to this stuff forever. And it isn't just going to hold you back from fulfilling your life's purpose. It could do far worse. And it'll achieve the same result of keeping you from your purpose. And that is, you're now going to get tied up in all kinds of other fun, like all kinds of other diseases and dysfunctions.
Right. Right. It'll bring more forward, too, of not fun things.
And won't that be a joy?
You know, what you were asking earlier about intuition and so forth, about listening to your own intuition and, you know, how much wisdom is there in going to someone else and kind of finding their take on something instead of just doing it yourself, because everyone has their own filter and so on and so forth. I wanted to make a comment on that, because that's been a huge lesson for me in this whole empath thing, that I have to learn to really stay out of it and not allow my filter in there. But that's not to say that my filter doesn't enter in from time to time. So the whole lesson there is that in life, we must follow our own instincts always. We must watch to see, what do I resonate with? So anybody, for instance, using the example of going to an intuitive or going to, a psychic or whatever, if it resonates, or talking to somebody about politics, for goodness sakes, if it resonates, then it's lining up with your inner intuition. If it doesn't resonate, if whatever that intuitive person tells you really doesn't resonate with you, it's either not lining up, it's all wet, or you're not ready to hear it right now, either one. But sometimes it's nice to hear, just like talking with friends about world events and so forth. That doesn't mean we're going to swallow everything they have to say and walk away with total belief, from their perspective, but certainly it can help us to open other insights and ways of thinking.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a process. There is no question. As I said, it took me, and I have to say, I was absolutely almost maddened by the fact that I got drawn into this nonsense. And it is nonsense. Now, people say, you've got to be involved. You've got to get involved in the process and so forth. Why? Why would I expend my energies in something that isn't serving me? But it's going to benefit the collective. I did a mental analysis of the last 60 or 70 years in reference to the common man and this process that they say I'm supposed to be involved in. And I've asked this question many times, and I realize this is a little far afield. How has the condition of the common man, or has the condition of the common man, that's you and me, Luann, gotten better because of that process? And the reality is that it has not. Now, on an individual basis, your life, Luann, I'm sure has gotten better, right? But it's
right,
through
by
you,
far.
But it's through your efforts and the efforts of the people around you immediately, and your connection with the divine, your higher self, if you will, and your intuition. That's what's gotten you, not what they're doing over there on the East Coast, or even like here in Sacramento, for that matter, right?
Right, but thankfully we have a ripple effect. So anybody who raises himself up and starts to live a more enlightened and more open to the divine life, it's going to ripple out. I mean, by far, the people that surround me, none of them are of a personality form that would allow me to put my, let's say, evangelical hooks in them.
Mm-hmm.
None of them would stand for that for a moment. Even me uttering that word, I'm very allergic to it, so you can see why everyone who surrounds me is of the same ilk. But what I'm trying to say is the thought patterns of metaphysical processes and so forth, I couldn't pour that on the people around me. It just wasn't going to happen. Instead, I had to integrate them into my own processes, and if they work for me, and they do work for me, if the people around me start to witness that I'm doing different things and it's making a change for me, and it sort of softens the way they think about something and maybe leads them to, I don't know, consider it. That's a great thing, right?
Yeah, it is.
Same ripple effect, and it can go across the universe, you know, that whole 6 degrees of separation thing.
Exactly. I've often facetiously said on this program, and it was usually at the end, and I stopped doing it because I thought someone shared with me, well, that's not really fair for you to say that to the listeners in that way. But I used to say facetiously, you do realize, folks, that what you've just heard in the last 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 minutes, whatever, however long the interview is, you can't unhear, and now you're going to have to deal with it. Okay? And that's also the reason why one of the chapters in my book that I'm working on and have been for 17, 18 years, and it's a small, it's probably going to be smaller than yours. And so you wonder, what in the world is he putting in that thing? But in that book, I talk about choices, and I talk about matching your personal input to your choice, whatever that is. So the people that you surround yourself with, you have the freedom, and I use this word very broadly, and I'll explain it as well. You have the freedom of discrimination, meaning you can choose to have around you those people who, at the very least, aren't knocking or being negative to your choice, at the very least.
Absolutely. When you run across a relationship that's in that manner, instead of railing against it, if you just pull your energy from it, that's the key at this point. That's the way to live a peaceful life, to engage with the ones that raise you up, that interactions with charge you, give you a charge, and to disengage from the ones that pull from your energy. Just disengage.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be in their face about it. You don't have to be impolite about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just withdraw your energy gently.
Well, when my wife was going through her surgery and chemotherapy back in 2001, her ex-husband was still part of the picture. And, you know, which was fine with me because, you know, my wife can make whatever decision she wants.
Sure.
But he was being, at that time, he was being very negative. And I even shared with her, I says, you know, you really don't need someone like that. It could have been her brother. It could have been his brother or somebody else's brother who was being that way. And I would have said the same thing, but it's entirely up to her as to, you know, who she wants to surround herself with. And I will also say, speaking of that ripple effect, that today, I kid you not, and this was really an amazing turn of events. Her ex-husband, has actually been to our home. And I met him, and his demeanor was as if, oh, this is just an old friend. It was absolutely amazing. And, of course, the animosity at the front end of this whole thing back in 1998
right.
was extreme.
Sure.
Not violent or what have you, but still, you know, you certainly sure. can understand that. And the turnaround in 20 years is just...
That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would tell you that the reason why he was probably... I would tell you that the reason why she attracted him back into her life when she was going through the issues with cancer, with his negativity in that time in front of her, like experiencing that with her, mm-hmm. was to show her own negativity so she could heal that and release that, because that was a contributing factor to the cancer. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. It absolutely does. You know, and it is amazing. And so when I share with people that concept of your right to discriminate, if you will, you know, and it's all based upon whether
this be discriminating might be a nicer way to put that.
All right. That's a better way to be discriminating. You know, the there's that law of attraction, if you will, in that construct, where you're going to draw to you those people. And here's what's interesting, talking about the ripple effect. When you know, there are a couple of old wise sayings that I have come to understand are lies. They're not true. The first one is, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not true. But there are ways to overcome that. But then the other one that is said is, you can't change other people. That's not true. But here's how I say it's not true. By virtue of changing yourself, you are going to affect the people around you to the extent that either they are going to go, oh, God, what is this? Who is this? I got to get as far away from this person as I can. And they're gone.
Right.
Or you're going to draw those people to you, and others who are like-minded like you.
Right.
And but you're not doing it in a conscious, intentional way. I'm going to change that person by changing myself. And it's not how it works.
Right. We're actually affecting them. Probably affecting is a better word than change, you know, because changing seems like all about putting your hooks into someone and trying to make them whatever.
Yeah.
Where if you're just affecting them by your own changes within yourself, but not reaching out and trying to, you know, tweak them.
Yeah. And that's a very good, that's a good point, a good differentiation there. You know, and I may start incorporating those concepts, but it is important to realize that we do have these incredible powers, so to speak, and we ignore that. I'm curious, you know, Jesus was asked by his disciples one day when he was, I don't know if it was changing water into wine or if it had been late raising Lazarus from the dead or what miracle it was that he was performing. But, you know, they were just in awe. Wow, that's pretty cool. Hey, man, can we do that? And this was an interesting response. Sure, but you're going to do this, but you're actually going to do greater works.
Yep.
And I interpret that as the greater work is actually going to be the transformation of the self from within.
So true. So true. I mean, you know, we can do anything, but the problem is we've got to be able to believe it. And we came into this life just with this separation thing poured all over us. That was an aspect of our beingness in our human body, is all about separation and
reinforced by religion.
Starting to dissipate, I think, as the new kids are coming into, babies are coming into the world now. There's that veil of separation is thinner and thinner, and everyone is seeing that veil in a less heavy manner, so that we can find our connection to the universe and discover our gifts, and we all have them. We all have them. It's all about letting go of the fears and the resistance and opening to your belief in yourself and that, and all that is your connection.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is opening up to that. And a lot of folks do have a lot of difficulty because they have such a vested interest in that which they have been taught and surrounded with most all of their lives. And I think, too, because when you were talking about, you know, that separation as we come into this world, which is then reinforced by the institutions, religion in particular, that speaks of this original sin. And I'm going, wait a minute, hold on a second. I certainly can understand cause and effect as far as the actions that I take will affect not just me, but people around me, depending upon the large cause that I create. But in turn, and I certainly can appreciate the proverb that speaks about the sins of the father are passed down to the sons to seven generations. I can appreciate the concept, but down through the entire existence of humanity, I'm having a hard time with that one.
Right. Well, you know, we can. Yeah.
Anyway.
We can look at past lives and all of that to see that, you know, people may carry various things from life to life. I don't know who believes in reincarnation and what have you, but you know, you can look at it that way and just see that, you know, the sins of the father are visited on the son. Is that what it is?
That's
or,
it.
I'm
yeah.
not quoting that, it right, but
to,
the whole
to
idea,
seven generations.
Okay, but the whole idea is, you know, I'm here now, mm-hmm. and I can recognize what's coming up in my life to show me what do I need to heal and release. Mm. So if I can look back at, you know, my grandfather or the, you know, whatever, and see something that has a similarity to something in my life here and say, oh my gosh, you know, and you were going through this and that, okay, goodness, that was horrible. And then other various aspects of that, then you can finally see a gleam of how this could have happened, and oh my gosh, I forgive you. As soon as you can forgive someone else, because it's easier for us to see in someone else than it is in ourselves, as soon as you can forgive them for whatever it is that you're seeing in that reflection of yourself, it's easier to say, gosh, you know, I do forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't give you a very good example to put your teeth in on that, but
no,
anyway,
go ahead.
That's the beginning of that theory.
Sure. No, I understand. And it's you know, it's sometimes easier said than done because, you know, we as human beings, we hang on to stuff. I mean,
right.
you know, not just literal stuff. And we've got people who do that and they've got a house full of stuff and a little path going through. But we do that on the inside, too.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So if you're going to take something that snowballed from generation to generation to generation, you can, by God, take the stance today to say, okay, it's stopping here. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to heal it and release it. I'm going to look at it, forgive it, you know, analyze it for a bit. Look at it, let it rough me up for a minute. Let those feelings float through me as I then put my teeth into what it is it's reflecting in me and how I can change myself. Because once again, we can't change the past. We can only change ourselves. We really can only change ourselves. So as soon as we see what that reflection inside ourselves is, we can then forgive ourselves and let the whole thing go. And then it doesn't matter anymore to you. It doesn't push your buttons anymore that this happened then. It's okay. You're over it. You've forgiven it. You're beyond it. It's done. Move on to the next.
Yeah, I hear you. I do hear you. It's very, very interesting, this process that that we go through. I'm curious as to the process that you've gone through, specifically in regards to your upbringing. What influences led you to go in this direction? I mean, were your parents metaphysical in that nature, or were they of a very traditional belief and philosophy, and you just said, hey, this just isn't serving me, and I need something more?
Well, funny you should ask. So my parents were both raised devout Mormon. And then both of them, my dad, as a result of World War II, when he came back and pretty much immediately married my mom, they entered into their don't believe in God, and then evolved it to agnostic stage, which then they had five children. And they still wanted to be able to let us make up our own minds, so we went to church a little bit. So I sort of had a hazy little belief in God, and would say, when I was little, would say prayers, you know, before I go to sleep. And I don't know who taught me that. It certainly wasn't my parents, but maybe church. And then, anyway, I had an experience when I was in junior high. So I kind of believed in God, okay, but I didn't have any big religious thing going on I mm-hmm. to speak of. And I one night went to sleep and was awoken by my parents arguing very loudly, and that never happened. And I can remember covering my head with my pillow. It was so bad. And I don't know what they were fighting about to this day. I'm in, you know, denial, or I don't know what. But anyway, what happened was, as I was walking to school that day, completely unrelated in my own mind, I started thinking about how much sense the Big Bang Theory and evolution made, and what in the world is anybody thinking there's any God for? That just doesn't make any sense. And right then and there, I became atheist for several years. And that, because of synchronistic events and me always searching for answers and wanting to learn, I did evolve that into agnostic, where I believed there must be something larger, but, you know, I didn't know what, and I didn't really seek it. And then different things happened in my life that opened me more and more to be needing to find a connection to the divine. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I then for a while believed in, you know, Heavenly Father. And then I shifted from that, or sort of integrated from that, to pure positive energy, that I believe the divine is pure positive energy. But I think the reason I've been told, and I believe that the reason I had needed to go through a phase where I personalized God, was that in my upbringing, which was not huggy, snuggy, touchy-feely, I needed a way to feel the love coming from that pure positive energy. And if I had thought of God as a Heavenly Father who could wrap his arms around me and love me, hug me and love me, then I could feel the difference. And it was even shown to me in an actual example. Think of this coming from your Heavenly Father. How does that feel? Okay, now think of this coming from pure positive energy. How does that feel? And it was at the time, it was like a night and day. I thought, wow, that just dried it right up for me, the difference. And then, you know, as time went on, now I still sometimes set my intentions in a prayer form, but for the most part, I just like the feeling I get from that. But I really think of God as just the power of the universe, not of human form.
Based upon the wide and varied topics that we've covered on this program, and the metaphysical practice that you espouse to, what can you tell me that you once believed, but now you know?
I know because of the experiences that I've had and the resonating that happens for me when I really look closely at various just things that can't be explained any other way. And then the channeling is what could that be coming from? At first I thought, sometimes I used to think I'm just crazy, that's all. And then I resonated so much with the wisdom that was being put through me, and I would write it all down. I started, instead of verbally channeling, I started to do it as automatic writing so that I would have it. I recorded it for the longest time, but then it was easier to be able to go back and read, so I started doing it as writings, and it's just so jam-packed with wisdom and new thought. It's just so awesome. So I, you know, that is convincing to me.
Mm. One of the things that came to mind as you were sharing was that Greg Braden wrote a book called The Spontaneous Healing of Belief. In our conversation, yeah. He said that there's going to come a day. This is sort of the partial answer to the evolution question. He says we're going to reach a day when we are going to transition from believing to knowing. And I know that a lot of people have their own particular philosophies, and they say they know. And of course, who can argue with that? I mean, you know, who can really argue with that?
You, I know. I'm not going to tell anybody else that they need to know, but I know. Yeah. I know that when something has happened that's shaken me up a little bit, and I'm asking for connection and reassurance, and a butterfly floats right across 2 inches from my face, mm-hmm. I know that, and then I get chills. I know that is the divine speaking to me.
Yeah. I myself finally came to the realization in my life that if this existence were an accident, then it wouldn't matter what I did. I could go out today, rape, pillage, and plunder, because this is an accident and my life has no meaning. But there's something inside of me. I don't know what it is. I just know that it's there that says my life has meaning. Ergo, I'm not going to go out and do that. I'm going to do, you know, these kinds of things that I'm doing now.
Right.
And I can't explain it. And I guess it's one of those fascinating things that I ran into with some of these religious programmers at that station where I would say, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're asking me to justify my philosophy. That's the word I'm using now instead of religion or faith or what have
you. Philosophy, I like that, yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, I don't have to justify it.
No, we don't have to justify it. That's just it. Yeah. We just need to love it, live it, and know it ourselves.
Yeah. I want to thank you so much for giving us so much time here on the program. And I've extended this to just about every single guest we've had on the program. Should you find yourself out here on the Central Coast in Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio to continue and dialogue more about these ideas and concepts and where your journey has taken you to that point. So, you know, should you do that? Should that happen? Again, let us know.
Will do. Absolutely. It's been an extreme pleasure. Thank you so much, Richard, for having me.
And before we let you go, first of all, let our listeners know, A Journey Within is the title of the book. The website is luannludwig.com, luannludwig.com. And I have three final questions for you as we come to the end of our program. The first being, who is Luann Ludwig?
I am a soul living in a human body, experiencing life in the most beautiful of ways and expanding my horizons and touching millions of people through my experiences.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I hope to allow others to expand their own knowledge base, their own thought projects, their own ways of living their own lives, and hope to help them see things in new ways to, you know, expand their own experiences.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is to live, love, and experience through my human body and aid in the expansion of the universe.
Again, the book, A Journey Within. Luann Ludwig, thank you so much once again for joining us here on the program.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.